crazy cat.
The emotion of
and I'm pretending to be gay to get a job. It's fine.
It's fine. Well, this podcast starts now.
It starts now.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. You ain't never gonna run. You ain't no friend of mine. Hello. Welcome to Respectfully Podcast.
Hi.
I'm Andrea Allen.
I'm Lizzie Cassidy. We're so fucking back.
We're so fucking back.
We've never been more fucking back.
Buddy, we're on the...
A thing we... Every time we say that, we do not record for 3 weeks.
100%. Yep. No, but this time it's
But this
serious.
Time we're back.
We're in a pink set. It's
By the way,
fully
I booked
updated.
A guest for next week. Anyway.
Then next week we got a guest.
Next week we got a guest.
What do you want
we're
from
back,
us? We're back. Don't you worry about
Stop
it.
Stop DMing me and asking me. When we're back, I don't know.
It's not. People have things to do.
People have things to do,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Respectfully.
I have to eat, pray, love in Europe for no reason.
You do. You are eating, praying, and loving in Europe. Are you going? How long are you going for?
10 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're that bitch now.
I am that bitch now. And yeah. I'm really excited. It's
back to Berlin?
No, I'm going to London and then Amsterdam.
Oh. And by yes. the way, I was on Ashley Gavin's podcast with you guys.
Yeah,
check
that
it out.
Was
it's
fun.
On YouTube now. Very fun. Ashley's wonderful. And talked about a lot of lesbian stuff, shockingly.
Yeah, if that's what you're here for.
You freaks.
If you're
you
here to find out if we're fucking lesbos.
Pervert freaks.
Are we allowed to say lesbo?
I think so.
I said it on stage at a lesbian comedy show the other day, and I felt like bad about
really?
It.
Yeah. Was there?
Well, I was like, because I'm not a lesbian, and I'm calling them lesbos. It felt very like Mean Girls.
You bunch of lesbos.
It felt very like Mean Girls era, like homophobia.
Yeah.
You know?
But you got glasses,
That,
though.
Like... You're gay because you have to be line in Mean Girls that like woke people were like, that's actually not what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, lesbos.
Tina Fey homophobia.
Yeah. Girl boss homophobia.
Girl boss homophobia.
I don't know. Lesbos, write in. I
lesbos,
feel like,
write in. If like, you're hating this moment, lesbian flag on the wall, no reason.
Yeah. We're allies to lesbos.
Literally, do you know that this is entirely the lesbian flag colors?
Oh, really?
This really plays into the narrative of you being in love with me secretly.
I know. I'm aware.
Hey, can you come on my big lesbian podcast? Our big lesbian podcast, by the way.
In where I built a set for us to sit in together with all the lesbian colors.
Totally.
And I just gaze at you longingly. Yeah,
it feels nice.
Hey.
It's nice to be pined for.
Yeah, I love to pine. I mean, I do on stage because I dress so butchy when I'm like not trying. I'm truly wearing like big Bart Simpson shorts and a big t-shirt. I'm always like... Yeah, I have a husband, but I'm a lesbian, and everyone's like confused, but
and
also
like people think I'm butch because I'm like not skinny. Ashley said on the podcast the other day, she was like, "You're the most femme co-host we've ever had," and I was like, "Nobody's ever called me femme in my life."
True,
I do my hair and makeup for 2 hours every day, and no one's called me femme in my life. I have fake nails on, I have fake eyelashes on,
yeah,
and like nobody has ever called me femme.
They see a chunky shoe, though.
They see a chunky shoe. Yeah. They see a non-skinny girl in a male-dominated field.
The tats,
the biker wife sort of aesthetic.
Yeah,
but that is like. Also a version of high femme.
Yeah, it's Italian high femme.
Maybe this is classism.
Oh, shit, are us lesbos doing classism?
Well, I'm like, the tatted women with the big hair are like not rich.
Yeah.
But they're not butch.
No.
They just like had to be kind of strong.
Because of their sad lives.
Yeah. Because their like husbands are mean and they like are from New Jersey.
Yes, they had to build an exterior to hide the inner pain.
Dude, every time I do comedy in New Jersey and I say on stage that I live in New York City, people are like shocked.
Really?
Yeah. Because I look like I fucking live in New Jersey. It sucks.
Someone said that they
No offense. New
no
Jersey.
Offense. Lesbos from
but
Jersey.
But also offense New Jersey.
You know. All of my friends are Italian. Well,
Some of my favorite people are Italian.
I know lots of Italian
some
lesbos.
Of my favorite people are Italian straight women who read as gay.
Yes. Oh, shout out to Tracy Carnazzo.
Yeah.
No, they, someone asked me if I was, people ask me if I'm Jersey, from Jersey often as well, but someone asked me if I was vaguely Italian as well. And I was like, oh, you think I'm like corny? And he like tried to back out. I'm like, no, say it.
People think I'm Italian all the time.
Yeah, I'm wearing a dress.
But then I have to be like, well, I'm Irish, which is the same thing. If you're from the Northeast, Italian, Irish, Jewish is very the same. It's very like, my mom is a little overbearing.
Yeah.
I feel guilt when I don't call her. Mm-hmm. You know, like there was a lot of pressure on me to be skinny, but also to finish my dinner.
Yeah.
That thing.
You guys are doing that a lot with
what
each
is
other.
That about?
What is that?
Which
about?
Is it? What? Because dinner is potato based.
Right.
But why? Oh, why aren't you skinny? I don't know. Because you don't let me leave the table until my plate's clear.
Because they want you to throw it up, Lizzie. And you know it, and I know it.
And you know I'm throwing up, and girl. Not in a bulimia way. I have anxiety.
Like a cat.
I have anxiety and it makes me throw up like a cat. Whatever.
It's fine. I actually, once my friend was essentially ODing on Molly and she started walking towards me and then just turned her head sideways and threw up like a
That's
cat.
That's my
and
favorite
kept going.
Way to throw up.
It was so sick.
It's so fun when people throw up like that.
I was like, I hope your brain's not bleeding, but I really did love that.
I told Ashley, actually, it doesn't matter. I was like, I was going to say someone.
Yeah.
I said to Ashley recently that I throw up twice a week. And she goes, oh, that's why you're not more famous. She was like, you're like disabled. She Whoa. Goes, you don't sleep and you throw up all the time. You're not just like wandering around. You have a lot going on.
And
I was like, did you think I was wandering around?
That is so telling that that's what Ashley thinks that you're up to all the time.
It's so funny. It's like, yeah, I guess I could say it's that. It's not that.
I mean,
I just don't like doing the clips.
It's fucking annoying. It's fucking annoying. Just make us famous already. Hey, Lesbos, make
hey,
us famous again.
Guys, we're good people.
We're good. Listen.
We're good Italian-American women.
I know we sound very, everything we said actually sounds very bad.
You're wearing a tracksuit and you're like, how dare this guy think I was Italian?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was complimented.
Yeah.
But, no, I do. I also am like a disabled in that I don't sleep. And
well, that was the other thing. She was like, you don't sleep and the throwing up.
Yeah. And I don't sleep and I'm bipolar.
Yeah. We're disabled.
We're
gay.
Dude.
We're women.
Lesbians.
We're
disabled.
Give us a job.
Come on. I'll cut a limb off and get this fucking done.
Somebody give me a job.
Dude, we get.
I'll convert to any religion.
Dude, we get so desperate that we mutually cut each other's limbs off to get some sort of disability.
To like do a one woman show.
Yes.
To like do a one woman show about how I lost my arm in fame based psychosis. Which one would you?
Much trouble thinking about that. How much trouble do you think I would get in if I just started using a wheelchair but was very much not
like
wheelchair
a lot.
Bound? God damn it.
Like a lot. Have you seen the people who do that online? They're in trouble. People are really mad at them. And they always say they have POTS and EDS.
Yeah.
And I might have POTS. Not going to look into it. Don't have health insurance. Don't care.
You don't have time.
I've been feeling bad my whole life.
You're already wandering around.
It's just like people are like, you need to get a diagnosis for this thing that I also have, which by the way, there's no cure.
Right.
Then why do I need
Oh, throw it in the pile.
But anyway, my boyfriend has EDS and he's like, fine. And I'm not saying everyone who has it is fine.
Yeah.
I don't think that. However, there are people online using a wheelchair and saying they have that who you just like, no, don't.
Yeah.
Like the way that, because there are people who have it really severely.
Sure.
And they are disabled. My boyfriend thankfully does not, but he like knows people who have it.
Yeah.
Who severely have it. People who would need a wheelchair.
It's the muscle disorder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's actually, I think, a connective tissue disorder. I should know more.
Okay.
But every time he talks, I'm like, wow. My foot hurts.
I'm Italian.
And then I have this thing where when men are in pain, I get angry.
Oh, big time.
So I'm a really good person for him to be with.
For sure. Yeah.
Because he's like, my foot hurts, my ankle hurts, my knee hurts because of my disability. And I'm like, you're being a baby. Go to work, bring home the bacon.
I'll be here with my bonnet on, my nails done.
One time he like, we were on a trip to, I already talked about this on the pod, but we were on a trip together and his EDS was flaring up and he like couldn't walk. And so we had to stay in the hotel room and I got so mad. And he had to be like, we're in Baltimore. We weren't in Paris.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I never going to see Baltimore again?
You're going to have to get him some crutches if it's Paris.
Well, yeah, we have matching crutches in the home.
Yeah, this is beautiful. You're a disabled lesbian couple.
Yeah, it's
congratulations.
Beautiful. Wait, I was thinking about this, and I just have to say it because you'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
when I was saying it's nice to be pined for, it reminded me that this guy that I used to hook up with in like my full peak of addiction, a man that I would never hook up with in the right mind. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes. My eyes just lit up.
Yes.
Yes.
This man has texted me probably twice in the last 6 months at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's pining for me. I think I can't imagine how many women he had to text before he got to my name.
He's doing a full spray.
He's doing a full spray.
Yeah.
But because he texted me, I was able to like look back at our other messages. Oh. And I've never been cooler than I was when I was hooking up with him.
Really?
I didn't give a shit about him at all in a way that I was like, this is a mate. This is why he's still texting you.
Yeah.
Like at one point he texted me and he was like, what are you doing tonight? And I said, I'm staying with a friend in Astoria. Obviously, I don't even know who that was. Obviously, I was having sex with someone in Astoria.
Or it's me.
No, you had already not lived there. Okay. It was like,
I know who it was. I know who the person who was you were fucking in Astoria. It was a guy who had like a cool dog.
Yeah, yeah, it was the guy with the dog, and he was kind of mean.
God damn, he was kind of mean, and he was like basic, but he didn't think he was.
Yes,
and he thought he was better than
he
you.
Thought he was better than me, and I was like, "You're boring. Your dog is the coolest thing about you."
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he was one of those guys who, like, when he has sex with you, the like lights in his room turn red, and it's like, "Come off it, idiot." But anyway, I was like, I was like, I'm staying with a friend in Astoria. And he wrote back in quotes, a friend.
Hilarious.
And then I just wrote, or a friend, question mark.
Yeah.
And then I just wrote LMAO.
Oh.
How cool is that?
That is so cool.
I was like, yeah, I'm fucking someone else. Loser.
Yeah, stop.
Yeah, idiot.
Don't ask questions you don't know the answer to, you fucking loser.
Like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I've never been... Like, that was so fucking... Now, obviously, I wasn't actually cool. I was at the height of my... I was in the worst place I've ever been in my life. But it sort of, like, gave me this air of, like, caring and, like... I mean, there was no way I could be in a relationship at that time, and there's no way I'd be in a relationship with this person at any time.
Yeah.
But I feel like I was like that with men in general at that time, and that's I was like, sick. Oh, yeah. That was sick.
Who's that girl? If you ever
want to... LMAO is brutal.
LMAO is brutal. I actually, speaking of lesbians, I read a lesbian friend of ours, a text exchange between myself and the woman that I, the married woman I hooked up with, listened to Ashley Gavin's pod for that story, a Facebook message exchange between the two of us. And I, too, sounded like such a fucking bad bitch.
And this is why I won't open Facebook.
Right. Oh, my God.
Because you'll sound like a bad bitch once, but another time you'll open it and you'll go, okay. So that's who you are.
Yeah. Cool, cool.
Wait, what did you say?
It was just like, she was so like, oh, my God, I had fun. Like, hope, you know, like the like, hope
you. Would love to see you again.
Yeah. And I think I either left her on red and was like, yeah, totally. And then never. And I was like,
okay,
you
cool
did Lorianne so dirty.
You have to stop saying people's names on here.
She's probably,
you just said she was married.
She's probably dead, and she was cheating on her husband with a lot of other people, men and women.
Yeah, and there's so many Loriannes out there.
Yeah,
and they all have my haircut.
Yeah.
But for a different reason.
She had dark hair and glasses.
Well, you're in love with me.
And
this is
she wore like a punk rock. No, she was a redhead and decidedly out of my league, which is also cool that I was blowing her off. Yeah.
Yeah, the person I was blowing off was not out of my league.
No.
I mean, they were in the other way.
I think, I don't know what league that they belong in.
Yeah, it's a different sport.
It's sort of a hell, like below the crust of the earth.
I mean, this is a person who, to his face, I said, please don't ever speak to me again.
Yeah, which is cool.
And then he came to our show and I was like, hey, I told you not to speak to me again. Why are you at my fucking show?
It was cool. It was cool.
It was cool. We used to be so cool.
I know.
Now we're like, my husband, my boyfriend.
I'm wearing a tracksuit. Let's ruin our lives
literally,
again.
Literally.
Let's get divorced and date each other, huh?
What do you think would happen socially to us if we did that?
If we started dating each other.
People would freak out.
It would be so insane.
Oh my God. And then when we broke up.
Oh, it would be unlike anything.
Oh my God.
It would be unlike anything.
It would be murder suicide.
I think you would be meaner than I would be.
Yes. Well, yeah. I am. Yeah, yes. That's because I am meaner than you.
I do fear
and
you.
And it would kill me.
Yeah.
But somebody has to be.
Someone has to shoot the dog.
Somebody has to put their foot down. I would be doing the murder suicide.
Yeah. I mean, our close male friends would be like, are you both relapsing?
They would be like, boing, 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 boing. Yeah, la, 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 la.
I don't know. It's the thing we've talked about. If one of us turned and like went in for the kiss, the amount of therapy that it would take
to
reel it back from there.
I would think you were having a psychotic episode of some kind.
For sure. Yeah. I had my old best friend. Oh my God. Should we talk about it? Okay. My old best friend.
No, we can't.
All right. We can talk about it.
We will eventually. Yeah. Hey, fucking stay tuned.
Hey, stay tuned, by the way.
But right now, it's too hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Guys, we're so back. And eventually we'll talk about something really fun. But my old bestie, I went on a date with a girl who she was convinced that looked very much like her. And I was kind of like, well, she's just like you, but hotter, but whatever.
Yeah, and also a lot of girls look like a lot of girls.
Yeah. Oh, you're both skinny. Revolutionary.
Yeah.
But
groundbreaking.
She was right. She was weird about it. Like, she was like, oh, this is making me feel weird. Like, you have feelings for me. And I'm like, wow, you really don't understand sexuality and or are so weirdly close-minded about this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you genuinely think that. That's great. That's like dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb, and it's also embarrassing.
Humiliating.
Like, it's really embarrassing to, like, float the idea that someone has a crush on you when they, like, so dumb.
Oh, nothing is more humiliating than that.
Like, girl. Or boy. Girl, gender nooch style.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever done that?
No.
I think I probably have.
You know that I'll never admit to having a crush on someone.
Yeah.
I've never asked someone out.
Yeah.
I've never made the first move. I won't do it. It's a level of, like, I've like worked really hard to get to the level of vulnerability that I'm comfortable with.
Sure.
That is something that I'm just not even interested in reaching.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, at a certain point, we have to stop doing the work and just know who we are.
I agree with this.
And that's who I am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's fine, by the way.
Of course.
I'm happy. I'm in a healthy relationship. And do you know how I got there? He made every move.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have happened. I mean, I definitely was like open about my feelings towards him once he was.
right.
Actually, when he asked me to be his girlfriend, I said no, famously.
Dude, you're such a bad bitch.
No. Yeah. But I did say, I don't want you to fuck anyone else or stop hanging out with me. And then he was like, what do you want to be exclusive? What are we, 16? And I was like, literally.
Yes. And do it.
Literally, I'm 16 and you're a pervert.
Yeah. And you want to do pervert things. Your boyfriend's a pedophile. Anyways, your boyfriend's a disabled pedophile.
He does not like this joke. I do this joke a lot. Yeah. Where I say something along the lines of, I'm literally 16.
Yes.
And then he'll be like, yeah, I know. Ha ha. Because that's how I like feel mentally.
Yeah.
And then I'll go, and you're 33.
And you work 9 to 5.
And by the way, you're 33.
And you provide. We actually both are women who live like children. Who have working class boyfriends.
Yeah.
And it is a little father-daughter.
And can I add this to the pile?
Uh-huh.
Not only are we women who live like children who have working class husbands, essentially, but we're also going, you have to take my career seriously.
Yes. And then stay.
Do you think my boyfriend wants me to go to Europe for 10 days?
No.
No, but he had to be like, I really love this for you.
Chasing your dreams.
You're chasing your dreams. Yeah. This is important. It's like important work. And I was like, totally.
And yeah, you're
going to
be shopping.
So that I can like write in a coffee shop in London instead of New York.
Having no real responsibility is awesome. Just highly recommend it to all of you.
Yeah.
If you can do it, if you can pull it off, say your parents are rich maybe, highly recommend.
Yeah. Or even just like sort of being removed from like caring about your day job. Like,
yeah.
And I think this is like where my boyfriend thrives. Like, he does not give a fuck about his job, except for the fact that it's where his money comes from.
Yeah.
So he's really good at being like, yeah, no, I'm not staying late.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't care about like the company.
Sure. This isn't,
I don't
like,
think we're a family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the place I work at.
That's a newer feeling in our society, I feel. It's been creeping in for the past 5, I feel like.
Well, I also think there's like, I'm about to get so annoying.
Do it.
There's like a level of privilege that comes with having a job you care about.
Yeah.
Most people just have to have the job they could get.
Yes. Yeah.
If you have a job you care about, it's because you went to college.
Yeah.
For the thing that your job, like for the field that your job is in, or you got really lucky.
Yeah.
And like, you got this job where you're like doing something you love every day. And even though you're making minimum wage, it like fills your cup.
Yeah.
Most people just go to fucking work.
Because they have like real shit to fucking...
They have bills to pay and whatever. Like, I mean, when I worked at a restaurant, they were always pulling that like, we're a family shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, you're the hand that feeds.
Yes.
You are not my family.
The family thing's so diabolical.
I know. Well, yeah. It's just a way for them to make you do free labor.
Yeah.
It's a way for them to get away with saying stuff like, if you can lean, you can clean.
And interestingly enough, the real family also does that, by the way.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Wow. Hey, baby, we are a family.
You're my family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my wife.
And your wife. Yeah. And your baby.
Yeah.
And we take turns being each other's baby.
It's true. We do. We do.
Yeah.
We do.
But not with our respective husband boyfriends.
No.
I'm always the baby.
And I'm also always the baby.
I am always the baby, and I'll always be the baby. Oh my God, I have to tell you. Okay. Fuck! This is so not an on-air thing, but you're going to love it.
All right.
Lock in with me here.
All right.
There's a person you're going to know immediately.
Okay.
And this person's going to know immediately, but they'll never listen. There's a person in our life who has emotional reactions that are not correct. Like, yes. They're too big.
Yeah.
And because they're too big, they sort of don't give anyone else the space to have any emotions. Mm-hmm. This is a person in our life.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend and I have started doing a thing where if I'm having a panic attack or he never is, but if one of us is having a big feeling and it's like something that affects both of us, but one of us is having a bigger reaction to it, we'll say, I'm the person's full name.
Oh,
do you know who I'm talking about?
Tell me and I'll edit it.
It's
oh my God.
We'll go.
Fuck.
We'll go.
That's
I'm
so
the
good.
Blah, blah, blah tonight.
Yes.
And it means I'm going to have all my feelings and you're going to say, no, it's fine, even though you're also having anxiety.
So one of you gets to the emotional lush of the situation.
And that's a really good trick for your relationship. Pick somebody that you both dislike.
Yes.
And be like, I'm being that guy tonight.
That's so smart.
And you just have to let me be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. God. It's like.
And then, by the way, when I said I'm 16, you're 33, he said, maybe I'm the guy. Hello.
Whoa. I mean, it is like the, wow, I totally lost it. Give me a second. Oh, okay. Do you ever play this game in your mind? This is so upsetting to admit, but it is the truth. Does someone ever pop up on your social media feed and you're like, well, thank God I'm not that fucking
guy.
Of
course.
Yes. And then I go, I'm that for somebody.
Yeah.
I'm someone's like rock bottom worst case scenario,
yes.
Which is a sad.
I like know the people that I am that for.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, it's like people I like, but I think there's a lot of people in my life who I'm like, I would categorize myself as like half as successful as.
Sure.
And that's almost more of a nightmare than not being successful at all.
Or like involved in anything.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's almost more of a nightmare than never picking up a pen in the first place.
Sure.
To be like just right there kind of all the time.
Yeah.
And I think those people see me and they're like, okay, I'm not thrilled with how things are going, but I'm not her.
I mean,
I'm like, by the way, things have never been better.
Now you're like, this is the best it's ever been. Well, also, it's like the thing that's frustrating is that there's an awareness that the talent is there or like the, you
that's
know what I
yes.
mean? So it's like, oh, no, look, it's just not really working
it's
out.
It's worse than if it's not there.
Yeah. If it's not there, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's not there on a level, the person has to know.
Yeah.
But if it's like it's there, but there's just like a bridge they can't cross, you're like, Jesus.
Jeez Louise.
Jeez Louise. And I'm like, I'm sitting there being like, I'll cross it.
Guys, I'm not you.
I'm disabled. I throw up twice a week.
Yeah. Listen.
You guys don't know what it's like to be me. Oh, I lost a year of comedy because I had to do pills. Sorry. Sorry.
Whoops.
Sorry. Did you guys consider that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was talking to some of these people the other day. Again, some of my closest friends.
Sure.
More successful than me. Normal brained. People.
Yeah, normal brain people are tough.
Normal brained.
Yeah.
Like dark enough to be friends
to have
with
fun.
Me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But normal brained comparatively.
Yeah.
Probably not normal brained to normal people, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking and they were talking about like a guy, one of them has a guy in his algorithm who's just like a schizophrenic guy.
I love those
who,
guys.
Yeah, and like my friend was saying that he likes all of his videos, but he'll be like the one like, and we had to be like, hey man, you're verified and you have like 250,000 followers. You're going to make this guy crack. Spiral.
Yes.
He's going to be like, so they are watching he's going to show up to all your shows. I was like, your Instagram is literally just a page that says where you'll be and when.
Yes.
You cannot be the only fucking like on this guy's videos.
Dude, it'd be like if Liam Neeson started liking right. my videos.
So then I had to be like, as a person who literally spent 1 year in psychosis.
Yes.
And I like watched them all remember that about me. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys wonder why I can't bridge the gap.
Yeah, true. The normal brains, man.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it makes people like sort of respect me more when I say that.
Sure.
Because they're like, for a normal brain person, you're not doing that well. But for a girl who's been a year in psychosis, you don't even seem like you're in psychosis.
Crushing it. Who do you think is more normal brained, you and I, or you or I?
I don't think either of us are, and in very different ways.
Yeah.
I think you're more type A than I am.
Yeah, for sure.
And that is very normal brain coded.
And like helpful for the way our society works. Right. Yeah.
It's more like capitalism coded. Yeah. You know?
I'm
like a comedian because I like literally couldn't do anything else. And you had a career before you did this, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I just don't have bipolar disorder.
Yeah. You do not have bipolar disorder.
But then in all the other ways, I think we're very like same brained. We're both like very anxious. Like we like run anxious.
And no.
We're like hot blooded in that way.
We know where everything's ticking, where all the cannons are firing
off. We're sort of making a mountain out of a molehill we're sort of mountaining all our molehills.
We do be making mountains out of molehills,
texting each other like, here's the mountain I've made out of this molehill, and the other person's being like, it's a molehill.
Yes.
But then I'm like looking at my boyfriend and I'm like, I don't know, it's a molehill. And then he's normal brain, so he's like, it's a molehill.
Yeah,
you know. But like for the most part, I think we're pretty unnormal brained in similar ways.
Yeah. It is hard to understand that people don't have the same brain that you do until you get like a diagnosis.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I've been talking to my therapist a lot about ADHD. He's like sort of turned from therapist to ADHD coach because I'm fixed.
Yeah, totally.
Because my stuff is fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, but we were talking about it a lot and he was saying that sort of learning disabilities, autism. He literally said, he goes, I don't really love this word, but neurodivergence in general.
Sure.
And don't come for my therapist for not loving that word. I knew what he meant.
You leave him
alone. But he literally saved my life. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
He was saying that a lot of times that's coded as young, like to people.
Oh, interesting.
People like sort of see you as like not mature.
Like a hot mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you're in this like delayed adolescence.
Yes.
Because you forget when to do your laundry or whatever whatever your thing is. You don't get shit in on time or whatever. There's like this idea that you are juvenile in some way. And he was saying it's really frustrating because people who have these problems are actually so mature.
Yeah, they're doing their goddamn best.
Yeah. And like really brilliant in ways that other people aren't, and really open in ways that other people aren't. And he was like, it's just like makes normal brained people be like, oh, what, you're like a kid forever?
Yes.
And it's like, well, yes, but not in the way that you think.
Yeah.
I'm a kid forever because I have whimsy in my heart.
Sure.
And I decided to be an artist.
And make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I have a lot of people with ADHD in my life. And I definitely have had, because I have people with ADHD like in my family as well. And only in the last recent time, and also being, you know, besties with you and knowing you in your life. For a long time, I would definitely be the like, oh, you can't just fucking
do it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, and it also builds resentments.
Yeah. And also the thing that I think people don't realize is I'm also thinking that about myself.
I know. Yeah.
So that it creates shame.
Yeah.
And shame becomes like the ultimate motivator. So you become comfortable with shame.
Yeah.
But then you realize you're just telling yourself you're a piece of shit all the time.
Yeah.
And like, that's not a way to live.
And then you lie because you're shameful. Yeah.
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 I did it today. And speaking of the lie I told today, please tell me you have a printer.
I do have a printer. Great. Because
I told a lie and I said I printed something that has I have no plan to print.
I got you, buddy.
Thank you. See, this is how it works.
This is how it works. But the thing is, this is the way I think about it, because I was like, I have so many people in my life who I love who have ADHD. It's so fucked up to not try to understand life from their perspective. Because if you try to understand from their perspective, you can ask them the appropriate, you can give them the appropriate amount of stuff to do, and you can not create this resentment cycle with you two.
Yeah.
Because that's how they're wired. And in a similar way, it's like, if I have a bipolar crash and I can't get out of bed, I treat myself like I'm injured. Cause in a way my brain is injured.
Yeah.
So it's asking your ADHD friend to do something that they are struggling with, they have treated like they have an injury.
Right.
And that's the only way that anyone is going to have a nice time getting through life and succeed. People with ADHD need fucking assistance.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah. It'd be nice. By the way, get us successful so Lizzie can get an assistant.
Yeah. Or get a boyfriend who will check your work be like, because I'm also dyslexic, he'll be like, that flight is not going where you think it's going.
Yes.
That's going to a different airport.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh, I didn't know.
Oh,
I had no idea.
Well, next time.
Cool.
Well, I've got a respectfully for
you. Okay, great.
Yeah. And I teased it with you before. So here we go. Respectfully, do not use the conspiratorial and also based in fact, big pharma excuse to not take psych meds.
I mean, it's giving RFK Jr.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's giving Joe Rogan. It's giving Make America Healthy Again. It's giving Don't Take Tylenol.
Yep. And it's like, I know oxycodone, don't, et cetera. I know how pills ruin lives. I'm not being like, just take it. But I do feel like I don't want to take the meds because they'll dim my creative sparkle. You don't have a sparkle.
Well, you can't sparkle when you're depressed.
No, you can't. And I've been there. And I'm also like, it's the same kind of talk that people do when they don't want to get sober.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yes.
When I didn't want to get sober, my big thing was I won't be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found out that I would have to go to detox if I were to get sober. And I found out that the way they treat you in detox is with psych meds. And I remember saying to my therapist on the phone, I'm afraid my brain will be different after.
Yeah.
And he was like, your brain is different from years of drug addiction.
Yeah.
You'll be fine with the psych meds that they give you in the detox.
Yeah.
Saved my life, remember?
That's what I'm saying.
And I was like, oh, yeah, totally. Right. There's no way that my brain will be different in a worse way than it is from years of neglect, which is what not taking your psych meds is, if you need them and they're the correct ones.
Yes.
Because there are valid reasons for not wanting to take things.
Sure.
And like, I've tried a lot of psych meds that were the wrong meds, and I'm a drug addict, so there's a lot of things that I just can't fucking take, and whatever, that's a valid reason, but I'm not talking about Prozac.
No, no, no. It's so immature, and there's an undercurrent of it of I don't want to do this, so now you're going to have to live with the after effects of me not taking the appropriate medication.
And I don't want to get better because I'm afraid I'm going to find out it's my fault.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean?
Say more.
I think there's a lot of people who, you know what? I'm just going to say this. I think there's a lot of men.
Yes.
Who, at least in my life.
Yes.
Listen, women can be bad.
I statements.
Women can be anything. I feel there are a lot of men that I have met who, because of mental illness, in a very real way, have not been able to bootstrap their way out of their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they are afraid that if they treat the mental illness, they still will not be able to do that. Oh. And now it will be a reflection of their character.
Yeah.
But it's like, but you will be, you will be better.
Yes.
You will feel better. And when you feel better, you can do more. And if you can't, that's also fine. But you'll at least feel better about the fact that you can't.
Yeah.
And they don't really seem to grasp that.
It's kind of like, I feel like the men who relate to Eminem fall for this a lot. The stan.
Say more.
Yes. I will say more. The the lower middle class or working class, the I was I was handed this shit hand as a white man. Yeah. And so I'm just going to live this hard life because I can't, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's something about it that's like resentful, and they like to live in the resentment.
But there are also like rich guys who are doing it with anger. Yeah. Like they're like, I'm, or like, or depression or whatever. They're like, you know, maybe their career is going well, but they're not able to hold a relationship.
Yeah, sure.
Or they don't have a lot of friends, or they can't be intimate with a woman.
Yes.
And they're like, well, if I take the pill and I still can't do that, I'm my dad.
Yeah. And then I have to do the actual work, which I do not want to
do. And I'm not going to do the work. Yeah. But like, but then there's also people who are like, I'll just take the pill and not do the work. And it's like,
me. I'd rather you take the pill at least.
I think it depends on what you have.
Yeah.
This part really depends on what you have. Because a lot of people are just taking the pill and not seeing results and then going, the pill doesn't work. And it's like, well, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, it's like, I'm not going to use AA as the example because it doesn't work for everyone, but it's like people get sober and change nothing about their lives.
Yeah.
And they go, why is it so hard for me to not drink every day? And it's like, well, because you're living the exact same life you lived when you were drinking.
Yeah.
And of course it's hard.
You don't have but hobbies. If you, like, you don't have nurture.
If you like went for a walk every day, it'd make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Which sounds very bootstrapped Republican of me. But have you guys gone for a walk recently?
Have you looked at trees recently?
Have you felt the sun?
Also, side note, I've been feeling a euphoria. This is just a divulgence to you. I don't know what's happening to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm hypomanic because I
you
am
might just
sleeping,
be in a good place.
Which is so weird.
This is like when I was in Chicago, I made my friend try my drink because I thought I was getting drunk by accident. And then she said, I think you're just having a lot of fun.
Yes. Okay. Agreed. And hilarious. But I'm like biking a lot. I'm like outside a lot. So I'm like, I know that these things are part of the like having a good time. But I also feel, and I don't know if you feel this way, the direness of the political situation that we've been getting dragged through for, it's been 2 years almost now. Some would say even 10 of hell or all the time forever.
I mean, at least 10.
Yes, at least 10. Probably 10 for white people and then forever for everybody else.
Yeah.
And sorry to everybody else.
Yeah, our bad.
For that. But I feel...
I was woke before it was cool.
Yes, you were. And I
was in Antifa. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
She's Aunt Tifa.
That's a drag queen.
Of course.
In Brooklyn.
But I
go
feel
see
like...
see her at Brandon Saloon.
The like... I don't know what it is. There's like a snap that happens when there's just so much bad information all the time.
Yeah.
That makes me be like, well, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Well, you also texted me about this and I would like to throw this in the pot. I did respond. Also, it's spring.
Yes.
And that is, you know what I mean?
Spring is huge.
It is spring and spring is huge.
Yes. But it is, I don't know, the feeling like the death is imminent is like, well, then let's just do everything. I don't know.
Right. No, I know what you mean.
I might just be happy.
You might just be happy.
Which is crazy.
Because I think a lot of
have
other people are like...
Have I not been happy until now?
Well, I think you've been happy, but also like stressed out. You know?
That's insane.
Oh, no. It's crazy when you become happy.
What the fuck?
And you realize how unhappy you were.
I've been unhappy for like borderline 35 years. Oh, sister.
No, literally, like, this year, I was like, oh, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I guess, literally, I was like, oh, I'm happy. I guess I'll address the ADHD in the room.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, spending so much energy on becoming happy.
Yeah.
That then I did, and I was like, okay.
Now the next thing.
It's like, I know this comic who, like, built a room for his show and, like, lowered the ceiling, fixed the stage, fixed the lighting, blah, blah, blah. And then once it was all done, he like looked at us and he was like, now I got to work on my jokes.
Yeah.
And it's like, right.
We're building the comedy room. Right. Yeah. What percentage of people do you think spend their entire life being miserable?
Like 80?
I know. I agree. I really think
like it probably is. 80?
80 to 90.
In America.
Yes.
If you consider the rest of the world, probably like 95.
Oh my God.
Although then you're considering Europe and I really think that they have it better.
They've got some shit
maybe
tapped
it's still
in.
80.
I think it's probably around 80. and people have lives we can't even fathom.
But also there are people whose circumstances I would not like to live who are happier than I'll ever be.
I know.
And it's because they're like able to like let love into their heart in a way that I'm not.
And they haven't like felt the tenderness of the capitalist hug.
And they're like able to be fulfilled by their own mind in a way that I'm not. And like they sort of, they don't have like these grandiose expectations of themselves that you will always fall short of because they're things that only three people ever do, you know? This is me saying that I'm going to run for president.
No, I agree. I agree. So we're unnormal but pretty happy right now.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I think.
I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy.
I've been having a moment a lot lately where I've been like in an Uber home listening to like Diana Ross or something or like Donna Summer and being like, this is the happiest I'll ever be.
Me too. That's what's happening to me as well. Where I'm like,
is it just it's spring and disco?
I don't. Spring and disco has a lot to do with it. But I am like, I have this feeling where you know when your parents were in their 40s.
No.
Okay. Right. Do you have older parents?
Yeah, my parents had me. My mom was 40 and my dad was 47.
Okay. So my parents had me a little younger, but still, that's why you're smarted.
Oh, and me and my brother both have learning disabilities. I wonder why.
What happened there? Oh,
geriatric pregnancy.
Career. Making the career choice.
Yeah.
No, you're a brilliant angel, and I love your brain. But I do. And you. No, but I am like, I have this memory of my mom specifically. This is so lame, but she had like, she grew like sunflowers and they grew like crazy huge, and she was this like beautiful woman in her 40s who was so like poised and stylish and like loving and like this sort of like life force mom thing. And I'm like, I'm not a mom, but I feel that I am in this kind of area where I'm like,
also let's not sleep on becoming like realizing your personal style.
Yes.
That is also a huge.
Huge.
Because I'm like jeans and a black shirt all the time because I'm a comedian, so people don't know.
But you've been doing a little.
People don't know.
You've been doing a little thing.
Hey, I'm on the real real.
Yeah, you are. I see.
Hey,
you.
I'm on the real real. I'm on eBay. I'm going to the outlets. I'm purchasing things that I have no business purchasing.
But I love, people have been like, Lizzie's looking fucking.
I'm wearing weird stuff when I'm not getting on stage. I'm doing a casual heel with a jean, which feels very grown up.
Casual heel with a jean is...
It's so Sex and the City. It's so grown up. It's so New York.
Yes. And you
it's
hear the
so
heels...
It's so I don't drive.
Yes, it is. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It is so I don't drive.
I am driven places.
Or I take the fucking train because I'm chic.
Yes, yes. And the bus sometimes when I'm feeling kind of ethereal.
I love the bus. You mean the limousine?
Oh, you mean the poop limousine?
You mean the limousine?
Yeah.
I love Miss Bus.
Oh my God. Bus when you're the only person on it.
Bus with other people on it.
Fun people.
I love the bus.
Yeah, no, I know.
Dude, you can see someone having the best and worst day of their life at the same time. It's so sick.
It's beautiful.
And you're like outside. You're not underground.
You can see this dusty sky.
I'll like leave a half hour early to take the bus instead of the train.
I get that. Yeah.
That's my girl.
Yeah. The bus is your girl. The bike is my girl. Yeah. But I just I'm like, I'm going to look back at photos from this time and be like, she was it.
Totally.
And that's an interesting feeling.
And like, I always wanted to be her and didn't know how. And then I figured it out. And that's huge.
It is huge. Try to not be miserable.
Yeah.
People.
Well, tall order.
Yeah.
I understand.
I understand too. But
maybe take your fucking Prozac and see what happens.
That's what I'm saying.
Just see if the Prozac makes you want to buy a casual heel.
That's so nice.
And it doesn't have to be from the real real. It could be from DSW. I bought shoes from DSW yesterday.
Yes.
I've been buying shoes in a way that's insane.
That's what I'm saying.
And I literally have nowhere to wear them.
But it feels
most
so
of them
good.
I've never worn. Some of them I never will.
We're both like, we're so self-actualized. We're just addicted to shopping.
I think I'm just addicted to shopping. I sprained my ankle and couldn't walk for a month. In that month, I bought 4 pairs of heels, not knowing if I'd ever be able to walk in heels again. I bought a pair of heels for $100. That normally retails at around $900 just because I found them.
Saving money.
And I was like, I'm saving money. And my boyfriend was like, I mean, you're like literally not. You can't walk and you bought heels. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I don't know where they are. I put them somewhere when my ankle was broken and I don't know where they are. And I haven't been able to address the shame of that, so I haven't looked for them.
I'm glad you shared that with the class. And let me.
And now that I say it, I think I kind of know where they are.
You'll find them.
But they're Vivian Westwood, Animal Toe, Mary Jane, Red Heels. So look that up and tell me you wouldn't also buy those if you found them.
Oh, you get cancer and you never bought the heels.
Oh, tabbies. Oh. Yeah, I'm doing Animal Toe.
Okay. Please do Animal Toe.
I'm doing tabbies also.
I mean,
I should have worn tabbies today. Whatever.
Next pod.
I was in a hurry.
Is the key to happiness shopping and being on pills? I actually think that's kind of where we've landed. Well, of course.
Well, like it always has been and we've known the whole time. Yes.
Everyone's
like, look at the women who are doing that.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, the 50s housewives were on pills and buying dresses. And I'm
I mean, they were being abused, but.
For sure.
I'm talking about the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, sure.
When women were like having a Xanax prescription.
Yep. Using as needed.
Using as needed, often needed.
Yes.
And going to, remember like department stores before the internet?
Oh my God.
Imagine going to Barney's.
On a little Xanax.
On a little Xanax.
Oh.
Actually, I can't even talk about that. Imagine having a rich husband and going to Barney's on a little Xanax. I mean, sorry if I don't sound like a feminist. That sounds like the best day of my fucking life.
It sounds like the every day.
And a lot of those women were feminists in the way of being like, yeah, my husband makes more money than me and it's mine.
Yes, yes.
You know?
That was a brand.
And
of
I'm thing. Mean to him.
This is like, I'm kind of like, maybe we start to move yeah. a little bit back towards whatever, get your bag kind of thing.
Yeah, just like have your own money a little bit so that you're not trapped.
Or like steal it.
Or get a crazy prenup.
Yeah, you have to.
Get a
to.
Prenup where you get everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the way that this is non-feminist, and I've talked about this a lot on here, and I hope you're writing it down every time I do. Mm-hmm. You can't be a feminist if you don't have your own money. You just yep. can't because then you can't leave the guy you're with.
Yeah.
You like literally just can't. It doesn't work that way. And it's like, well, it's her choice and it makes her happy. So it's a feminist. No. You are being oppressed by your own husband.
You're trapped.
But if you have a fucking ironclad prenup where you get everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, girl, leave.
Hey, girl, leave.
Hey, girl, leave and go to Barney's on Xanax.
Go in there. Be kooky, weird.
I mean, Barney's doesn't exist, but Bloomingdale's.
And irregularly behaviored so that they're addicted to you.
A new department store opened, by the way, and we should go.
Let's
it's like trying to be Barney's. It's like there's a restaurant.
Ugh.
There's like interior design. There's like, it's
let's
happening.
Just do shopping for
everything is out of your price range. Everything. That's what I want.
Let's do shopping for the last season of America.
Yes.
On a little bit of Xanax.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, spend your money.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's also what they want.
I know. There was a woman in a show, audience member, the other night, and I was like, I'm so fucking tired. I have my period. And she's like, do you want Tylenol?
I just got my period.
Oh my God. Hey.
Thank God, by the way, it had been a while.
Uh-oh.
I was getting nervous.
We have to bring a baby onto the pod.
Can you imagine?
No.
The way I've been having, sorry, I interrupted you, but no, I have no. to tell you about this. I've been having this like crippling fear lately that I'm going to have a cryptic pregnancy and have to raise it.
I will not be raising
like,
it.
Like I'm not going to find out soon enough to get an abortion.
Oh, would you give it away or no?
Because
no,
I have an IUD. So it's like I could be pregnant and have spotting. I could lose my period and not be pregnant. Like all of this stuff. And I'm not saying don't get an IUD. Birth control is the greatest thing that ever happened to women. And it's the foundation of feminism. Don't fucking get on birth control if you can.
Get on psych meds.
And if you can't, use condoms. Be serious
Please
about it.
Please use condoms.
Like, don't fucking get pregnant. But I am afraid that I will.
Get on Xanax birth control.
It turns out my biggest fear is like, you know those stories of women who are like, I thought I had appendicitis and then I gave birth?
Yeah.
It turns out that's my biggest fear.
That's a scary one.
Isn't it scary?
Yeah.
What do you do with the baby?
You kill it.
You kill it.
You kill the baby.
You kill it.
You kill the baby.
We are the whores they talk about on Fox News.
Yeah.
They keep us in a cage there and let us out to do our podcast.
We are the bad guys. I mean,
I think you... I mean, like, I'm like, could I give it away? Like,
Would I be able to? You wouldn't be able to. No, you personally would not be able to.
I think I would, but I think I personally would be able to, but I think the outside pressure would get to me.
Yeah. Your family's too Catholic.
And I would be like, fine.
Just make Eli raise it.
Fine, Eli will raise it.
Fine, Eli will raise it.
Me holding a baby going, but I'm a comedian. But mom, I'm a comedian.
I don't have normal brain.
I mean, I literally think about it once a week.
Yeah.
I think about how I would have to get a waitressing job again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a career and I would hate my life and resent the baby.
Of course.
So now I take pregnancy tests a lot.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't really get my period.
Okay. Interesting.
So like, who's to say?
Who is to say?
But what's cool about having an IUD is if I did get pregnant, it would likely not be a viable pregnancy. So there's sort of my late term abortion loophole.
Just keep taking the pregnancy test, by the way. Shout out to Jordan.
Thanks for letting me get that.
Jordan is photographing. We'll tag
Jordan Ashley, incredible photographer and producer.
Is photographing the show right now, and I'm really enjoying hearing what she laughs
at.
We
should have a woman in here more often.
Yeah, yeah. I love having just a woman in the background. It's very nice. I think you just got to add pregnancy tests to the budge.
No, and, I do it. Just sort of makes me feel good to see it being negative. It does make me sort of feel like a woman of the early 2000s who's wearing heels with a jean.
Yeah. Do you eat the pregnancy test after?
Yeah, I eat it.
Yeah, you gotta eat it. Yeah.
Oh, do I hide it from Eli?
No, I just like, do you eat it to get the pee in your mouth? Or I haven't slept a lot today.
I like actually make kind of a big deal about it, and I make a mountain out of a molehill so that my boyfriend has to like baby me, even though I like pretty much know I'm not pregnant. I do a lot of like, would you still love me? Would you still love me if I had a cryptic pregnancy sort of stuff? Wait,
is a cryptic pregnancy one you didn't know about? Yes. That's what it is. Yeah.
And then you just give birth.
Oh.
Oh! And it happened to a woman on TLC and she had twins. Are you fucking kidding me?
Pregnancies.
Thinking you're going to have no babies and then you have two?
Oh my God. Pregnancies is scary.
And she was like happy, by the way.
No. Pregnancy is the scariest thing in the world. It can kill you.
I do think the like cool thing about a cryptic pregnancy, if you want a baby, is that you get to be pregnant without no, like, I mean, I guess people who want babies want to be pregnant.
Sure.
But you get to sort of like be pregnant and you feel well enough that you don't even go to the doctor. That's pretty chill.
Yeah. And then you just skip the whole anxiety of being pregnant thing.
Yeah. But I'm like, and no one's talking about this. I'm like, these women are drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't know. It's not their fault. Yeah. They don't know. But I'm like, you must be smoking weed and vaping and drinking.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're the type of minded woman, and I am one myself,
yeah.
who could miss it,
you're
not saying it's your fault. I'm saying you probably vape.
You're doing the other things. You're definitely doing a little bit of the other things.
I'm just saying there's no way in hell you don't vape. And that sort of makes me think you can vape pregnant.
No, I am not. I am putting a full stop to this. I am putting a full stop to this.
I don't think you should.
No.
I just think if you did, it might be okay.
This is your one last piece of addict denial is the vape. And I will stand
vape.
On all 10 toes.
I love the vape.
Against
I know it's
vape.
Making me worse.
I know. And I will not push it. But
the one thing that got through to me was talking to our friend who had lung cancer, Terrence Hartnett. He's a hilarious comedian. He's got a great show about it. He got one of his lungs cut out.
Yeah.
And he is kind of like...
He ate it, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah, he ate the lung. Yeah. They made him.
Yeah, they made him eat it.
I was talking to... Not you, I like her, but I was talking to a woman the other day who said once she has a baby, she's going to eat her placenta. It's just like crazy how many different types of women can be friends.
Yes. And you're like, oh, okay.
Like, how are you and I friends?
Yeah, no, crazy.
But she like... used to work in a fertility clinic and she was like, you have to eat it. And I was like, what do you,
you
mean?
Simply must.
She was like, there's so much stuff in there.
Can you vape and eat your placenta at the same time?
Wow.
That's the big question.
Can you eat your placenta with a martini?
Xanax, martini, placenta.
It's the only way I'd get it down.
Vaping. Yeah.
It's shot like chaser.
It's like the colonoscopy liquid.
Ugh. I've never done that. I have had an endoscopy and it was the best day of my
life.
I've
done both, baby.
I was so high.
It's incredible.
And then the guy I was dating at the time, you know the guy?
Yeah.
Long-term boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one I've had.
Super.
By the way,
cool.
My relationship I'm in now, longer.
Let's go.
But he took me to get an endoscopy in the middle of nowhere, Brooklyn, because I couldn't afford to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Literally like a place that like wasn't a doctor's office.
Some uncle's office.
Yeah, it was like a place for bad people who have done bad things.
Yeah,
I was there because I drank too much and burned a hole in my throat. And like, what are you going to do? This is just sort
of
like...
How many holes?
There's holes.
Unnecessarily are in your body.
Girl, I got holes.
And same. And same.
But it was sort of like,
we
this is where
holes.
We all ended up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're at this place. I had to stay in a Holiday Inn Express down the street in order to get there by 9 a.m. And it was just sort of a nightmare. But there's like a famous pizza place near there. And he like made me go after. And
cool.
I was so fucking high. And I wasn't hungry because I just woke up from anesthesia. And I was like, why are we doing this?
So bad person.
And also, dude, my addiction was so bad. I remember they told me I couldn't eat or drink after midnight. So I got drunk until midnight.
Yeah.
The night before my endoscopy at Lucky 13 in Park Slope.
Oh, God.
The metal strip bar.
Yes.
Which is a great bar, but like you have surgery tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you're like, my addiction was so bad. I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
I was there.
I know. Everybody was there. Yeah,
I was there. I was going loving from a distance and hoping yeah. for the best.
Somebody asked me if I was an alcoholic the other day when I said I didn't drink. And I was like, wow.
That's bold.
There's like people around that don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you've entered the phase where there's enough
a time when everyone
tagged
knew.
Photos of you in stand-up now that like the old drunk moon-faced ones have been phased out.
I actually don't allow tags on my Instagram so that those don't show up.
Smart.
I just repost.
Smart.
I have a respectfully Let's also, while we're talking about my bad choices in my life, mm-hmm. Respectfully, I think a lot of you need to kill the social cop in your brain.
Yes.
Like, not just like, I'm not just talking about criminality. I'm talking about like, it's not fucking cool to think that everybody needs to be punished for every mistake that they've made. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed a thing happening. And I've heard a lot of other people talk about this. Taylor Ortega talked about this on Caleb Heron's podcast. Yeah. So I don't want to be like stealing from her.
Yeah, yeah, I saw this.
But she was talking about how like women are, their behavior is being policed in a way
from
that's
the
like
chapel room
completely
thing,
unfair.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with that. And I also think this extends to celebrities, your friends, and characters you like on TV. Mm-hmm. It's touching every part of your life if your brain is like this and you have to fucking cut it out. Because expecting a fair punishment for somebody's crime that you decided they committed,
yeah.
you will actually never be happy.
No.
If that's what you want, because that's never going to happen. It's never going to be fair. There's like I've been watching The Pitt. Love her. Mm-hmm. Love her. There was a realistic C-section on there and I watched it 3 times. It was awesome.
You're a freak.
You could see all the like fucking water. It was so sick. Mm-hmm. But there's like a doctor that's a drug addict mm-hmm. and he like got suspended for 3 months to get sober, blah, blah, blah. And all of these people are online are like, he was stealing medication from the hospital and he should have been fired. Imagine and it's like, first of all, girl, it's a TV
down.
Show.
Yeah, oh my God.
It's a TV show. You want this fictional character.
Yes.
You have to watch him face retribution in order to like the television program.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're a fucking cop, dog. Yeah. You are a cop. It's not an interesting personality trait to have. And I know that one of you is going to be like, that situation is different because he could have hurt someone. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's literally not real. It does happen in hospitals all the time. Obviously, there is a protocol for it.
Yeah.
And the protocol is, let's see if this person can get sober.
Yeah.
And it's like, you want them to be thrown in jail. You want them to lose everything. I literally saw someone online being like, I would feel better if his wife left him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right, because you want him to suffer.
Yeah.
And that's just like not the way the world works. And by the way, it shouldn't be.
No.
People who make mistakes should not have to suffer for their choices. They actually should be given a chance to get better. And a lot of people believe that when it comes to like the carceral state, but can't believe it when it comes to their friends. And it's fucking annoying me.
It's just a microcosm of the carceral state. It's also Christian-y.
Yes.
It's hierarchy.
You've sinned.
Yeah.
And now you must live in hell for the rest of your life.
Yes.
I literally, Chapel Run could have screamed in that kid's face and I would have reposted it and thought it was funny.
I agree.
Like, who cares?
Who gives a fuck?
Who cares?
What do you?
Not to mention she didn't, but who cares?
What do you think people get out of it?
I just think that there's like this, I think that a lot of people right now are feeling very like hurt and betrayed both by society and the people in their life. Mm-hmm. And there is no retribution coming. There's no one coming to save us. There's like nothing, like, you know, Trump's been impeached multiple times and it's never worked and blah, blah, blah. And like your shitty ex-boyfriend is going to keep being shitty to you no matter what he says.
Yeah, people who are horrible,
and,
who succeed in front of your face.
Instead of facing consequences, he's going to marry a girl that's hotter than you 6 months after he breaks up with you. And that sucks. And I get it. But also like, that's fucking the way the cookie crumbles, dog. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's like, you don't get to demand that people live forever atoning for this one thing or whatever it was. You can have boundaries with people who have hurt you. Mm-hmm. You can say, I don't want to know you anymore. I've done it. You've done it. Mm-hmm. You are allowed to do that. What you can't do is then be like, and their life should be bad. It's just out of your head. It's just like, you can think it and you can say it to your friends at brunch when you're wearing like a stiletto with a jean. You can totally do that. And I'd love to be there. But what you can't do is try and make it happen. What you can't do is call their fucking job and say they cheated on you.
Yeah.
That's like not, that's like so much crazier than, to me, that's crazier than cheating on someone.
Yeah.
Well, and I think cheating on someone is evil,
it's,
but it's also not a crime. It's not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I even think that there are situations in which cheating is sexual assault. And I still am like, the more that we police the sex people are having,
yeah,
we're on a slippery fucking slope. It goes
down. Yeah, for sure.
Because I've also seen people online being like, cheating should be illegal because when you're married, you have a contract and that person's broken the contract.
Oh, brother, stop, no. Stop. Shut up. Stop.
Because now what happens to the woman who's in an abusive relationship who finds someone else who's going to help her and give her money and save her?
Yeah.
Oh, she goes to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just chill out. Chill out.
It's kind of, it reminds me of, and I feel like we're kind of examining this right now because we had the left pendulum swing of Me Too,
yeah,
and wokeness and all the shit, which I am in agreeance with the spirit of, yeah, a lot of it. And it was a backlash to like just centuries of heinous, unchecked behavior. Yeah. So we had like one blip when we were like, hey, actually, I'm going to say who did something bad and I'm going to put it on the internet. And right, there was like a catharsis to that time because it literally was just like no system was allowing people to talk. No one was helping anyone. It just felt like instead of having a protest, we were having like a riot.
Yeah.
You know, because the temperature was so high. And then as a result, the swing turned.
Yeah.
Right.
Where nobody's punished for anything. And like, obviously, it's so obvious that I'm not talking about people who have committed sexual
assault. No, I know what you mean. But I was listening to a podcast with some annoying libertarian men, and they had one of the former.
Which you'll get in there. You'll get in there and see how the other side
Andrea
thinks.
Andrea gets in there. Andrea
and
gets
somebody's
got
to get their hands dirty, yeah, and see, yeah, what they're up to.
Andrea's a pig in shit over there.
We do have to see what they're up to.
I agree. I actually do agree. And I know people are always like, someone listens to it to be like, I'm just seeing the other side. I do actually think you kind of have to see the other side a little bit.
Well, they've been planning a lot of stuff in secret.
We got to know what they're up to. But a former head of the ACLU said something that was like kind of undeniable to me. Where it was like, if we police speech and we police people's behaviors, the way power usually ends up is that an oppressor usually makes it to the top of the, yes, hierarchy. So if you put in place the idea that we can police speech, it will always eventually be used against the oppressed class.
Yeah.
So it's like, I hate being like, we gotta let everyone say everything. I don't think that's really true, but we're like, we're getting off on this punishment in a way that it's going to backfire,
yeah,
and has.
Yeah, and also, I'm going to add this to the pile. There is like a type of woke bullying going on the internet that I'm simply not going to stand for.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm going to describe it exactly. There is somebody on the internet, I'm not even going to say his name because I think people should stop talking about him. Mm. There's a guy on the internet, relevant to my point, he's trans. Mm. And he is, sorry to say, weird and annoying. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are.
Sure.
So this person has made a lot of content on the internet in which he is being weird and annoying. Mm-hmm. And because people think he's weird and annoying, they have dug through his videos and found one where he said that a guy he has a crush on, who's a famous person, didn't sexually assault someone who accused him of it. Mm. And now they're calling him a pedophile. And what I'm saying is, you found an oppressed, annoying person and found a woke way to cancel and bully them. Yeah. When in reality, all you wanted to fucking do was make fun of an annoying trans person.
Yeah.
And you got to do it under the guise of like being right,
yeah,
and doing the right thing. And it's so fucking frustrating to me because I don't know. I don't think this is true about this person necessarily, but look at the famous annoying people.
Hitler.
But I mean, there are annoying people who are fucking brilliant,
yeah,
who we wouldn't listen to for years because they were annoying.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Lena Dunham.
Yeah. God, Lena Dunham.
I love her and I've always loved her. And you fucking people,
yeah,
you cyberbullied her within an inch, yeah, of her life.
No.
You called her annoying until she had to disappear from the internet.
Yeah.
You found one part of her book where you decided you could woke scold her for the rest of your, yeah, fucking life.
Dude, woke scold.
And now she wrote a cool memoir and you're all back on the Lena Dunham train. I fucking see you. Yeah. She's the voice of a generation and you hate annoying people.
Yeah.
And I think you gotta like, let annoying people fucking run free with it a little bit so that they can make
they
girls.
They can be annoying with each other.
You it's don't not, get girls if people aren't annoying.
It's not your business.
You know what? Like an annoying, a non-annoying person could never write Hannah Horvath. They could never write Marnie.
They couldn't, 'cause they don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah. And as a woman who was annoying for the majority literally of her 20s, I need to be seen.
And by the way, I need to get back there.
I know.
I like stifled my annoying.
Me too.
I was annoying my whole life. And then I tried to be cool.
I'm so happy.
And it curved my edges.
Do you know what's interesting? I am now returning to the zenith of being annoying, and I'm wearing Uggs at the same time, and I feel those are connected.
They are.
Wearing Uggs is such annoying. An annoying girl thing.
You're wearing a tracksuit and
I'm
Uggs.
I'm wearing a tracksuit and Uggs, and I've never been more annoying, and I'm free.
It's literally, to be annoying is to be free.
Yes.
You have to just at least be brave enough to be like, I just don't like this person.
Yes. Okay. Question though, because I'm now whipping it back to philosophy because I'm a libertarian of this podcast. I've been thinking about so scolding people, all this bullshit, gives someone a sense of personal power on a level for sure. And I feel like we always have these arguments about society, like the people on top, but they're power hungry. And so they'll do anything to get power and they harm everyone. Agree, agree, agree. But I'm like, okay, so power feels good. This is why they chase it, obviously. And I'm like, is there a type of power chasing that I do within my own life? And what does it do for me? So I can try to understand
And in what way does it corrupt me?
100%. So then I was thinking, okay, how does that feel good for me? And I think when I feel powerful, I'm at an event and I'm like a cool person.
Yeah.
And I can look at the people who aren't cool and be like, ugh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's bad and evil.
And by the way, it's annoying.
Yeah.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Wait, I'm annoying or the people are annoying?
Both.
Yeah, I know.
Because what we forget in that moment is that those people are also looking at you and going, okay.
I know. Oh, but are they?
Yes.
Are they?
Yes.
You think so?
Just because someone's weird doesn't mean they're stupid.
No. But I mean, okay.
I understand what you mean. Some people who aren't cool don't understand what cool. They don't understand.
Excluding people also feels good sometimes.
Yeah.
And
but you've been excluded. You know the feeling of being like, okay, it's lame of you to exclude
100%. And I don't do that kind of stuff at all anymore. But I remember when I was a younger person, especially a young woman, when all the social the social currency was to exclude and be like the it girl, that it feels powerful. And I remember loving that feeling.
Yeah. And I do think you're the one with power in that situation. I'm just offering the perspective that the other person thinks you're lame too.
For sure. And they're right.
Yeah.
And they're right.
So I'm just saying you're both annoying in your own way and you should be free. And everybody should be free to be annoying and you don't have to be cool. You don't have to go to Barney's. You don't have to be cool. You can fucking suck, dude. You can suck and be free and nobody should be able to tell you that that is a character flaw unless you suck in a way that's hurting other people.
I agree.
And annoying other people is not hurting other people. Making other people feel a little bit uncomfortable because you don't understand social cues is not hurting them.
Yeah.
That is not think about being hurt. You know, that's not being hurt.
No.
Even when somebody is committing a huge social faux pas against me, it's like I recently found out that somebody was talking shit about me at a party and it's okay. It's not, that person is not hurting me. They're just doing something I don't like.
Yeah.
And were it a different person, maybe it would hurt me. Mm-hmm. There's a version of that hurts people, but I'm just trying to make the point that take your fucking, take your badge off, put your gun on the desk and retire from the police force. You're just not going to like some people and they're not going to like you.
I think
that's awesome.
Sure. Yeah. I think I have a little bit more of a cop in me than you do. And
well, this is sort of a thing I'm coming to recently.
Yeah, no, and I'm
sort of seeing the people that annoy me and I'm going, yeah.
Yes. Love that
I'm
for
going,
you.
Keep talking, you know.
And you're right. And you're right.
Because eventually you're going to say something brilliant. if you're annoying, you talk so much. I mean, I've been talking for 40 minutes straight. Yeah, yeah. I'm annoying.
Sometimes you speak
something
out
I
something
said in
good.
Here is cool.
For sure.
You know, just kind of let them go for a second.
Is there a situation where you still grasp and enjoy that copness?
Well, yes, of course, in private.
Yes.
I love policing others' behavior in a talking shit about them way.
Yeah.
Which is also why I can't be hurt when someone does it about me.
Yeah, that's, I think, the difference.
Because I love talking shit about
people. Me too.
I love being like, he shouldn't have done that.
Sure.
He should burn in hell.
Yes.
I love saying that about my friend's ex-boyfriend. You know what I mean? I love being like, we should fucking carpet bomb his house. or something real, like we should tell his mom. Yeah. I love doing that. But the difference is I don't do it.
I know. I used to do it a lot. And I think you talked me off the ledge of doing it.
It's just never good for the person who does it.
I know.
The person who has committed the crime will always win the social engagement when you try to do that. Like, when you try to, like, dethrone someone for being personally mean
to you. Even if you're so right.
Even if you're so right, you're going to get called annoying.
I know.
And there's no greater crime a woman can commit publicly than being annoying.
And or fat.
And if you're both,
oh my God,
you better fucking make girls.
Oh my God, you better make girls or you're dead.
You better fucking make girls.
Fucking dead.
Or they will malign you in the press. I'm telling you right now, as a kind of fat, annoying woman, they will hate your ass if you don't make girls. And the shit I've made so far isn't girls.
next fucking pod, we're making girls.
Look at my Instagram comments if you want to know what happens to an annoying woman who hasn't made girls yet.
Oh my God,
they hate me.
Yeah, well, they
and I'm annoying, and they hate me.
They hate all of us. Some, there was a quote that was like, "Never get in the mud with the pig,
yes,
because you'll be covered in mud, and they'll be happy, or something like that."
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
But I used to love getting in the mud with the pigs, and
also, like, these people are like unintentionally rage baiting you, and you're giving them what they want.
Yeah.
Like, these people want you to go on Instagram Live and talk about them for 40 minutes,
mm-hmm,
because then at least somebody will DM them and be like, you're right. They want you to do this. They are like expecting this of you, and you're giving them exactly what they want. Literally the best thing you can do is send the text that just says LMAO.
Yeah, you're right. I think
that guy wanted me to be like, yeah, it's a friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like,
why are you asking me about it? And now I have to sort of define our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best thing you can do is be like, I'm not engaging with this. You suck. I suck. We're free.
Yeah. Huge. Huge. I think we hit something. Okay. For listeners at home, try to disengage. Try to, every time you want to engage, try to disengage 15% in a week and see what happens.
Yeah. Or just like call like a trusted adult.
Mm-hmm.
As, and by that I mean a peer.
Sure.
A friend even.
Yeah, some would say.
And just sort of like do it with them and see if you feel better after.
Yes.
Like just sort of get it out of your face,
uh-huh,
without putting it on the person that is responsible for it. And like start a podcast and say their name or whatever. Like do, wait, no, that's the thing I'm saying not to do.
Yeah.
But then bleep it, I guess.
Sure.
But just like whatever it is, like vomit it out of, mm-hmm, you, pop the pimple, the emotional pimple, mm-hmm, that is like festering, and just see if you still feel like you have to punish them.
Yeah.
And then if you do, talk to a therapist. And then if you still do, maybe you have to punish them.
And you could kill them. If you do like 3 or 4 rounds.
If you talk to a therapist and your therapist is like punish them, then they committed a crime against
100%.
You. 100%. Then they like sexually assaulted you or like stole from you or something.
We're like telling.
And even that, I'm like, if someone stole from me, I'm like, what are you going to call the police, you 100%. Fucking nerd? But
we're like telling rape
as
victims,
someone who's dated men
it.
Who stole from me, I imagine how much longer I'd have to know them if I did anything about that.
Yeah. Well, there was.
Girl, it's gone.
It's gone.
You're not
it's
getting gone. It back.
You're not getting those eyelashes back. You left them on his desk.
You're not getting the $200 back that he kept saying he was going to Venmo you.
Yeah, that was real.
Wouldn't you pay $200 to never speak to this person again? Yeah. And by two, I do mean eight. Over
a period of time.
Multiple $200 instances, not $1-800.
Yeah.
$1-800. It's my money. I want it now.
$1-800. Yeah, there was.
Did I say anything that made any sense? I haven't slept in 3 days.
I haven't slept in a lot of
this
times.
This might be
too.
Our best work.
Yeah, I think it probably is. Jordan, was this our best work?
This might be when we're at our best. Yes. Thank you, Jordan.
I'm paying her to be here.
And she
has
slept.
To say it. All right, well, I think we've done
it. I think we did it. I think we solved it.
I think so.
Get on Prozac.
Steal.
Steal.
Be stolen from.
Be stolen from. Wait, literally, I think steal and be stolen from.
That's it.
Or else you haven't lived a full life.
Bars.
Be annoying. Let people annoy you.
Steal, be stolen from, Xanax, shopping, etc.
Oh my God. steal, be stolen from, be annoying, let people annoy you, put on a fucking heel with a jean.
Yep.
That's unless it. You drive, in which case change into it in your car. Don't drive in heels.
And wear Uggs, you stupid fat bitch.
And we're Italian.
And be Italian. Lizzie, where can they find you and follow you?
Follow me on Instagram at Lizzie Cassidy. Come see me if you're in London. I'm not going to perform in Amsterdam. Sorry, girls. I got to go see drag. I got to go see drag and watch people fuck. And I'm going to a Harry Styles concert.
Oh, you get to watch people
I like,
fuck.
What am I going to do? Comedy?
No.
Come on.
It's undignified.
I'm living my life. I have to live my life if I'm going to write girls.
Yes.
So leave me alone. But if you want to see me in Amsterdam, we could get coffee.
Whoa, don't say that.
I'm kidding.
Oh,
honestly, though, I'll be bored. Yeah. Oh, come to my show. New show alert. Same show, new venue.
Oh, yes.
Come to Comedians You Should Know now every Wednesday at 8 at Greenpoint Comedy Club.
I'm so excited for this. By the way, Greenpoint Comedy Club, opened by a comedian who have not met but heard only glowing really nice. Things about. It's a small venue in Britain.
It's an indie venue, goddammit.
Support it. If you're in New York, how
talk
cool.
Talk about girls.
How cool. Oh, I'm going to a show at a comedian-run venue. I'm going to go see Lizzie Cassidy.
Yeah.
She's got half a brain, but she's still really funny.
Hello.
And Andrea might be there in an Italian tracksuit.
Andrea might be there with in an heels Italian tracksuit.
And
then you'll be in Greenpoint, so you get to be like, I'm Marnie.
Yes. All of these things. And follow me at AndreaComedy69. And if you're interested in a podcasting studio, 4B Studios, inquire with me. Follow our YouTube and see you later.